Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Robin Brundle, Chairman, and Alex Stanbury, CEO of Technology Minerals. Welcome back, gents.
Thank you. Hi.
Okay, so obviously the company has announced that its subsidiary Recyclers Group has signed an agreement to supply black mass, a material containing essential metals like lithium, manganese, nickel and cobalt, to India's leading sustainable energy producer, Lohum Cleantech. This agreement will see black mass from Recyclers' Wolverhampton facility refined at Lohum's facility in India, reinforcing Recyclers' strategy to build its inventory and establish international trading partners. This partnership, stemming from academic collaboration and involvement in the UK-India ITES scheme, exemplifies a closed-loop materials ecosystem aimed at advancing electrification and sustainable energy transitions. Sounds like firm progress, gents.
Yes, thanks very much. Yes, it's been a long process, as these international deals can take and as per normal. But yes, for us, it's very pleasing. It forms part of the work we announced last year with the University of Birmingham and the visit that I think we spoke about to your listeners last year. And we've been working hard in the background on those relationships and separately on the ITES or ITES program. And as you can see, Phil, that the partners that Lohum are working with, serious international partners. And of course, one of those is Tata. And of course, that has far-reaching implications potentially for us in other global markets and opportunities. So this is a strategic partnership as well as a very solid commercial partnership. We've allocated 50 tons of black mass per month to this contract and confident that we have feedstock enough to do that. And we had to get this contract signed, which the reason we've released now is that we've now signed that contract before we can then send that contract off with the TFS application. So the TFS application will be in before the end of this week now, of course, and we're pretty sure that, you know, that will progress in the normal way. In the meantime, we've released on social media for the naysayers. You can see there are barrels of black mass sitting here waiting to go because the first order of 40 tons needs to be ready for them. We do an assay on that material. They, being Lohum, have a third party come in and do an assay. And then the commercials kick in of part payment now and full payment then in the normal way when the material reaches the port in India. So all of that good work has gone on in the background. And, they're very keen to get the relationship going. But it's really important also to understand with this that we have agreed this contract in such a way that we will still have black mass enough to fuel a pilot program for black mass separation. We had opportunities last year with other people wanting the black mass, but they wanted 100% exclusivity. And they wanted it all. And of course, that wouldn't then lend itself for us being able to progress to the next stages of black mass separation here in the UK. And of course, the financial benefits of being able to do that separation. And again, we've previously released information of a partnership with a green tech company, and that is progressing nicely in the background also. We had a visit from them about 3 weeks ago, in fact, to progress matters, and that's coming along very nicely. So, sorry, it's quite a long answer to a short question, but hopefully of some use to you.
So, Robin, this 40 tonnes per month, is it? Or 50 tonnes per month?
Sorry for the confusion. So the first deal is 40 tonnes that we have in stock ready for them to assay, and then it's 50 tonnes per month after that.
Okay, so have you got the requisite amount of feedstock to produce 50 tonnes of black mass?
We wouldn't commit to the 50 tonnes if we didn't believe we got sight of the feedstock.
Okay, so from a financial perspective, when and if this all happens, obviously the different requirements have to happen, what sort of financial benefit to the company is there on this 50 tonnes a month?
You will know from previous conversations, I believe, that we have a percentage figure for the lithium and the cobalt in the black mass. And clearly they're linked to metal markets. So we've previously mentioned around £3,500 per tonne. But the way that the metal markets have gone, these types of deals are going to drop back at the moment to around about £2,700 a tonne for the black mass. But that can go up as we get more and more EV batteries coming through with higher grade materials. They're not all higher grade, of course. There are some cars out there with LFP chemistries. But where we have higher grade, then we will be batching those batteries to make sure that the assay is higher in content and therefore will be higher in value. So you know, these are pretty much circa averages that we're talking about here. And the difference really is that the metal markets have moved. But of course, if they move upwards, then we get the upside of that because it's a percentage of those metal markets.
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify, we get paid on the nickel and the cobalt content with the lithium as a credit on those payables.
And what sort of proportion of that money comes then when they assay them and about?
So it's 50% on loading, on proof of bill of lading this end, and 50% when it lands the other end.
And you haven't got any costs involved with transportation or anything? That's the bag, or is that you?
We have a responsibility from an EA point of view to make sure we're responsible to the port this end, but the costs technically are based on an ex works basis.
Okay, so a lot of investors are obviously asking. We've gone through this process. The first 6 months was looking at Teck Minerals, Recyclers, becoming a real revenue producer. So what's your thoughts on what has happened? Obviously, because the revenue obviously hasn't come as you'd expected. And how do you see that's going to change in the next 6 months?
Yeah, sure. So we have had a period of technical difficulties with process, which have been resolved. We believe now that we've got the confidence again to go forwards with the solutions that we've put in place. And that's why we've come out with the black mass contract that you're talking about today.
I think, this is a new industry. It's a nascent industry in this country. We are the first industrial scale lithium ion battery recycler here. So, we built a plant and we expected the feedstock to ramp quicker than it has. It's been hard work from our point of view. We are building month on month and we're very proud of the team here. But yes, it's been a harder course than we'd imagined, but we are making good progress.
And is there stuff that you're going to be able to announce either through RNS or just talk about it, about contracts that you've got for feedstock, or is it just sort of coming in on the basis of the contracts already announced?
Well, the sectors that we've already announced to you, such as the under 4 kg batteries for handheld devices, we've got the e-bike contracts that we've already announced. So where we have a new sector that contracts with us, we will come out as they land. And clearly there's a lot of work going on those, and particularly in the automotive space, where it's a long haul, frankly, to get those contracts to land. But once they do, you in theory then are in there for some years to come as a trusted partner. And as soon as those types of contracts lands, then we will clearly come to market and let people know that we've got them. How much we can say about each of the companies will be determined by them. It's their brand. So we may have to be generic. So forgive us for that if we have to announce an automotive deal without a brand attached to it. But we are pushing those particular companies to allow us to announce. So once we've got them, we'll come and tell you about them and we'll give you as much information as we possibly can.
Yeah. Just going back to your comment at the beginning there, Robin, about the TFS, and obviously without holding you to a timeline, roughly how long in your experience do you think it takes to get something in place to obviously start to supply these shipments? And obviously, some of the frustration with shareholders is, why haven't they monetized this? Why hasn't the revenues been coming in? Should they have maybe not taken the gate fee? Forgot the gate fees and started getting supply of the batteries. But just roughly give us an idea of when you expect to see this initial, supply to Lohum.
We've been bitten over the last 6 months with, giving you updates and giving you guideline times for a number of things based on the information we had at the time. Sadly, there's some of those that we've slipped on, and for those we apologize, but we can only give you our thoughts on timelines, as I said to you, with the information at that time. The industry is so fast moving that there's always some change, literally every day. So I think, you know, the best I can say to you, Phil, is that the process is described by the agency as taking 8 to 12 weeks, okay? That's their timeline, not our timeline. We've got everything done in the background. In that period of time, we will make sure that the Loham team have got their third-party assay done. So the minute it drops, the material will be on its way to the port. So that's what our team are focused on, is being ready to have the materials out and that first invoice for the 50% ready to roll.
Very good. So, Robin, I know we were very optimistic before Christmas and we asked you the question about when you're going to be cash flow positive. You were saying it was pretty much imminent.
Yep.
This was obviously down to the fact that you anticipated the feedstock to come in and obviously some other deals to happen. I mean, how long is this going to take, obviously, because financially, and you're more aware of this than anybody, I would imagine, you know, the whole funding scenario that we've had to take the funding, we've now got someone selling down the stock and obviously have an opportunity to have literally hundreds of millions of shares in their hand to sell. You know, what are we going to do? We've literally, if the share price doesn't recover, we're going to have 500 or 600 million new shares.
So, you know, our job here clearly is to make sure that both sides of the business are actually running correctly. We've announced the progression of the 10 million deal for the Leinster project, and there'll be further updates on that, but that's that's moving correctly. It's got a couple of small challenges around its tax regime, but we're working with specialists on that, and we'll update the market once we've got a clear pathway.
Absolutely. I think the key part there is that gives us internal capital at that point to have in the coffers rather than having to use external financing. But we're also aware of what the shareholders want to see in terms of consolidation and control on the recyclers' side. And this is all front and centre, that and business delivery at recyclers. So we know where we're headed, and month on month we're improving, and we've got sight of cash, internal cash, at the beginning of next year as well. So all we can do is work as hard as we can, try and get these large contracts in, improve our operations here, improve our processing, get black mass sold. Also, you know, we've got good movement on live boxes as well. So, you know, it's lots of different avenues, all adding to a hopefully successful story.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that before we move on to the Leinster thing. Two things, I suppose. A lot of people, I've already participated in a great deal in the group, but I'm reading what people are saying. A lot of people are saying, are we being hung up on getting gate fees to the expense of not having the cash flow? So I suppose I want to give you an option to answer that, if you like, because that's a lot of people are commenting about that. And then the second question, in a two-part question, is the boxes, buyback boxes. You know, have we got any orders? Have we got potential for people to have those? Because I presume that's going to create feedstock as well, because you're obviously going to have the boxes. People are going to fill them and you're going to get them back, which was the whole point behind it, I presume, in the first place. So, yeah, go for it, Alex.
Yeah, okay. So on the feedstock side, on the gate fee, as I said, this is a new industry, certainly a new industry to us in terms of getting in the smaller portable stuff. So we had done quite a lot of research and worked out where our price list should be, and we're told consistently that it was in the right sort of place, but we weren't getting the feedstock through. So we have changed our pricing. But as Robin said earlier, this is a very fast moving market and things are different on a weekly basis. So some weeks you're winning things and other weeks you're not. So we are trying to be as adaptable and nimble as possible to try and get as much through. But yes, I think the point you make about being able to sell the black mass is completely correct. It does change our business model and our ability to flex that front end quite dramatically, because we are making money out of the sale of the black mass. So we would hope that hand in hand we can get more feedstock through. But there are two sides to the business here as well. There's the smaller portable stuff and then there's the larger EV stuff. So you're dealing with very different companies and very different vested interests. So in some respects, it's a kind of business of two halves. And absolutely with the larger stuff, you know, the EV, the companies that we're getting the EVs from, be it the OEMs or the dealers, have very different expectations to those that are dealing with the, you know, the AATFs, et cetera, and the compliance schemes as to what the pricing is. So yeah, we are creating it.
Are we going to get a 96-minute winner overhead kick from Bellingham Tech Minerals? Is the question I pose to you.
We're pushing hard. We're pushing hard. And I think just to add to that, Alex, you know, the other thing just to comment on there is that when we got the permit for Wolverhampton, we actually had a permit for a dual process line, production line. And it's quite clear that the under 4 kg batteries from, you know, power tools, e-bikes, vapes and, you know, coin cells, whatever, clearly, you know, our big machine is really not ideal in the sense that it's too big. So we are close to finishing manufacturing internally, which we're doing through our own fabrication, a second much smaller line that's already permitted, obviously, to sit alongside, so that we will then use that for the smaller batteries. And it's going to be even more cost effective because clearly there's less liquid nitrogen, less energy used even still than running the big machine for those small items. So that will then free us up to do bigger volumes of EV through the main plant effectively. And yeah, we'll send some pictures out on socials as and when that plant gets installed later this year. But certainly it's well on with its manufacturing within our own facilities. So yeah, we are progressing. We're not standing still. We are also very conscious that, you know, there's new proposed European regulation for 2030 that hasn't yet been rubber stamped, but we've looked at the drafts of those. And yeah, there will be even stricter containment, for example, than we have at the present time. And so we're working for our big plant two. So for us, it will then be plant three when the small one's gone in. So to be clear, it's a future tense item here. But we're already on with the engineering team, with the drawings and the design, to try and see whether we can actually function effectively in a clean room environment. And we think that that will give us a head start with gigafactories, co-locating with gigafactories. Because if we can process in a clean room environment, then we sit even more beautifully with them after the 2030 regulations. So, you know, we've got short-term push. We're living the pain of the shortage of cash. You know, we are, you know, really sleepless nights on working out how we're going to, you know, get from A to B with all of this whilst pushing the business in a positive way. And whilst looking at the medium and long term, you know, the links with India, for example, are also around the portable solution, which is progressing well through the 2 million grant that we got, or 1.96 million grant that we got from Innovate that we won an award for last year. So that project is progressing during the last 9 months. And it's very, that is great interest, for example, to the India operation. So, you know, we've got all these good things going on. And we're not galloping at the pace because we haven't had the investment. We were, you know, expecting perhaps some more UK government investment, let's say, through some of their subsidiaries. That just hasn't arrived effectively. So we're having to do it all ourselves, unlike companies in America that are, you know, benefiting from the IRA fund that's out there. And it's enabling them to gallop when we're still at a walk here, trying to do it through self-funding, the generosity of our shareholders, the patience of our shareholders.
So, Alex, tell us in as much detail as you can and what is holding up the final situation in Leinster.
Sure. It's as simple as this. It's multi-jurisdictional. So we have two foreign companies outside of Ireland, an Irish company, and a complicated mechanism by which we're trying to sell it. So it just comes down to structuring. And we've got advisors in each of the jurisdictions, and we're navigating our way through. It's just not the work of a moment, but we're hoping to get there shortly, and then we'll sign it off. But the diligence has been done. It's literally just down to efficient structuring at this point.
Absolutely. And to add to that, to be clear, we're still very, very much willing buyer, willing seller. So, yeah, that's not under stress from that point of view.
Absolutely.
The £10 million asset inside of Teck Minerals, which is currently worth about £5 million, is going to make quite a difference.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that's just one of our assets. So.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, I think we'll be talking to you fairly shortly again anyway. I look forward to that. But for now, this is good progress. I congratulate you on the Indian thing because I think it's really is a big step forward. The one question I didn't ask you during the Indian thing is, though they've contracted for 50 tons a month, if you can provide them with 250 tons a month, they were willing to take it, or you don't know?
Absolutely. And, you know, we are still in a supply and demand situation in our favor globally. And we still have people courting us almost weekly now for supply of black mass. But yes, you know, the 50 is a minimum commitment. and providing, we like the business arrangement, and because, clearly we've got to do the business and make sure that everything is as we want it to be, then, if we don't like it, well, we'll change it, or we will, send any surplus beyond that to another buyer effectively, or hopefully be in a position to separate it ourselves. So absolutely. And yes, they will take whatever we can give them.
And just so everybody understands sort of the percentages, again, final question, is if a battery comes in and it's 100 kilograms for the sake of argument, what percentage of that battery turns into the black mass?
The straight answer is an average of 47%.
Okay, so roughly half of it.
Yes, yeah, just under, but it is an average. So, if you get a high-grade automotive battery, it could be as high as 60. But if you get a low-grade e-bike battery, you can drop down to bring the average down to 47. So this is why, our partners for black mass have to have a certain process to be able to currently handle the blend or a meld of the various chemistries through our process. Because there are others out there that will buy the black mass, but they only want the highest grade material going in the front end. Well, that's no good to us, because that means that we would only be a solution provider for the high grade automotive batteries. And we want to be a solution provider for everything from vapes through to trains, forklift trucks, cars, and so on. So that's why we're very selective about who we deal with. And they're aware that every bag that we send them will have its own assay. And that's why it's a deal that's done on percentages of metal markets, and because each bag will be done differently.
Yeah, and looking at their purity rates, I think they're extremely high, aren't they? A lot of them, from what I remember in the RNS, are around like 99.5% or something like that.
Yes, I mean, that's their business, so we haven't validated that. So, that's where they're able to offer us the pricing that they've offered us, if they're achieving those numbers, which I'm sure they are. Then they've got the purity of material out the other end to maximize and leverage with gigafactories around the world effectively.
Very good. Well, we look forward to speaking to you hopefully in the not too distant future about other developments that you've got. Keep working hard. We want you to succeed. And I'm sure everybody who's listening wants you to succeed as well. So
thank you very much. And, just to reiterate, thanks again to everybody for their patience, tolerance of this. There has been slippages, for which we're sincerely sorry, and appreciate the ongoing support of many who are sending us positive vibes as best they can. So thank you.
Yeah. On that note, we'll say Robin Brundle and Alex Danbury of Technology Minerals, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.